And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We got a crowded house in our studio today, baby.
Love
yeah.
it. Love it.
It's good stuff.
How about that? Got so intern Brennan, intern Colin. Intern Colin, Michigan fan?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I like that. We got a little Michigan State action going on.
We do.
All right.
I wore my Packers shirt today.
Yeah.
Which Brennan's also not going to like. It's a tough morning for him.
I'm trying to, you know, trying to make him feel comfortable with my Nolensville Knights
shirt. Fridays for Knights.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes United Thursdays.
Baby. You know what's up.
Yeah.
Good times.
Season's right around the corner. We'll see what happens. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Thank you.
I'm doing well. Yeah. Crazy night last night, huh?
In more ways than one, yes.
Yes.
It was.
Indeed. Golf scores and everything.
Yeah. A lot of
Robbie,
things.
Is your handicap 6 as well?
Here's as political as I will ever get.
Oh, boy.
I guarantee you I can outdrive both Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
Oh, there's no question.
By probably a significant distance. There you go.
So I've seen video of Trump swinging. He seemed like not terrible. I don't think I've ever seen a Biden swing.
I haven't either. But I guarantee you, I can outdrive both of them.
I mean, so congratulations. So you're
I can outdrive.
You're declaring that you can outdrive some octogenarians. I'm very proud of you.
I'm just saying. That's as political as I get.
All right,
I can outdrive them.
That's
there you go.
We'll have to, you know, that's controversial, man.
Breaking
someone
news.
Will take issue with that.
Breaking news: the 31-year-old can outdrive those two. There you go.
I probably can't. That's the sad thing.
We got a lot to get to on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. And we're going to get into a lot of NHL free agency discussion throughout the day. With that right around the corner, the draft coming up tonight. We'll get your thoughts on the Predators. And we'll take your thoughts on who they could pick. We could also take your thoughts on trades that could happen, which is more fun. I'm just hoping, you know, we had the draft in our city last year, and it was a nice event. Nothing really happened. Like, there were no trades. And not a whole lot of movement in the draft. So I'm hoping for a little bit more of an exciting one tonight at the Sphere, but we'll wait and see what happens. But
and this is it. It's the last one.
It's the last one, yeah. I mean, it's not the last draft, but it's the last. No one will ever be drafted in the NHL again.
Just get to sign people.
Yes. So late last night, some news coming out of Vegas that, Joe, we had kind of talked about earlier this week. We've been talking about UC Saros, and we have discussed on the show how it felt pretty close, right? So Barry Trotz got on Jared's show the other day and started talking about trade protection with UC Saros. He just came out right out and said it. Said, you know, yeah, he's earned trade protection. Now, there's a limit to it, but he has earned trade protection. And when he said that and did so publicly, that told me that they had already figured that out. So when you've already figured out the trade protection part of it, you're probably not that far away from a deal. I had been hearing some rumblings late last week that they were close. So it felt pretty inevitable that sometime here pretty soon, UC Saros was going to have a new contract with the Nashville Predators. And apparently he does. Chris Johnston putting it out there, among others, last night. Friedman put it out there. And then I think LeBron took the next step. And then Johnston finally nailed down the number. 8 years, $7.74 million per year.
Interesting number.
Per UC Saros is apparently the contract that will be announced officially on Monday. Again, they can't officially sign into a contract until July the 1st, but it looks like the deal in principle has been agreed to. There's no details on trade protection that I've seen yet, Joe, but my guess is with the number coming in under 8, there's probably some trade protection involved, especially since Barry Trotz essentially said so the other day on the air. So with all that in the backdrop, 8 years, $7.74 million per season for UC Saros. Looks like they've got their goalie. What do you make of the deal?
Well, yes, of course, the 7.74. This is now becoming a Preds thing. How many other teams around the league have this stuff? Anybody? You got any other players out
there? I
think
there's a couple, but not very many.
Yeah? Okay.
I think Crosby did it.
Crosby did
when
it?
When he signed is not this deal he's on, but the one before that.
9.99.
He signed for $8.7 million per year.
Oh, yeah, it's 87. Why did I think he was 9?
I don't know.
He's 87. Close. Who is 9? Who's 9?
Like the just single digits 9?
Yeah.
And Gordie Howe was 9. Philip Forsberg's 9.
Yeah, okay. All right. And Yossi's 59.
He is.
And he did this.
He signed 9.059.
Hmm. Yeah, so my thoughts are, if you do this cool number thing and you take a hometown discount, that's pretty cool. Because it kind of is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, under eight, I think qualifies as taking a hometown discount. Right?
Yeah. I would think so. Like, I was convinced he was going to get at least eight. So
yeah, it's not like a huge, because I was like, is he going to get 8.5? Because Hellebuck got 8.5, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So that was kind of here's an example, by the way, of like the market being set and the next guy not just automatically getting more. You know? Now it's different leagues. It happens more in the NFL that you just auto get more than the last guy. But yeah,
Saros did get another year. Like Hellebuck only signed a 7-year extension. Saros signed an 8.
So there's and that's what it, you know, guaranteed contracts, it's the total money. So what's the math on that? Have you done it?
I've not. I can do it very quickly.
It's about close to 60, right?
Yep. I think it's probably a little bit more.
Hovering around 60 mil, guaranteed that UC Saros is
61.92 million.
Well done. That was fast.
Basically 62 million.
So, look, I mean, I said it before, and I'm not going to change. I would have opted to go with Askarov long term, based on the information I have, and maybe that would have been a huge mistake. Maybe Askarov isn't going to materialize as a great goaltender in the NHL. I can't tell you for sure that he is.
Sure.
I don't begrudge this decision. If you feel like you're a ways away with Askarov, what are you going to do? You're going to wander through the wilderness? I mean, it's just, and also, as we've talked about, the team that Barry Trotz inherited, a lot has been done to change the team, but when it comes down to it, it's still the same idea, which is like you have two great skaters, and so you're operating on that timeline. And now that you've locked up Saros, to me, this is like there's no, you know, you're trying to get younger, you're trying to get more prospects, you have to think about the future. GMs always think on multiple timelines.
Yep.
But it's go do what you can do now, because I don't know how many years Saros is going to be great. I mean, you could really look at last year and say he wasn't great last year, except that it was such a big contrast between the first and second half. So you hope that that's what he is in the second half. But how many years is he going to be a top goaltender in this league? You just signed up saying you believe it's going to be quite a few.
Well, a couple things on the Saros front. Number one, he finished fifth in the Vezina voting, which – I'll be honest with you, it surprised me a little bit, but he did.
Imagine if he just had a so-so start.
Yeah, exactly. So, fifth in the Vezina voting yesterday. Look, Saros, the money, if you told me heading all into all this that they ended up getting in for $7.74 million, my answer would be, okay, well, that's good. Like I think that's a good job done by Barry Trotz on the surface. Now, I would love to see exactly what the trade protection is, because that number tells me that there's some. Is it like a full no movement? Is it a limited no movement that kicks in 3 years? Like, what is the actual – what's the terms look like in terms of the no movement and the trade protection? So we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But the money itself, I think, is fine. Like, it's not going to be some anchor to them – with the cap going up at $7.74 million per year. Now, having said that, the 8-year deal, and I saw a lot of Predators fans irate that he got an 8-year deal last night. And I was like, guys, I don't know what y'all thought was going to happen here. Is it going to be an 8-year deal, or is it maybe a 7? They may have been able to talk him into a 7.
They're not doing 3-year deals
nothing.
Here.
Yeah. So I still, for life of me, have not understood that part of this. He's 29 now. He's got 1 year left on the deal that he's operating on. So that's the other thing. I mean, that deal doesn't kick in until a year from now. So when this deal kicks in, he's going to be 30. So you're signing up for UC Saros, so he's 38. And there's a risk anytime you sign somebody to an 8-year contract. Like Philip Forsberg, 4 years from now, maybe a total shell of himself. I have no idea.
You expect some pain at the end of these deals.
Right.
I mean, it's that's how buyouts happen.
But what I worry about, and what I think if you're a Predators fan, a lot of Predator fans are worried about, is kind of what you've brought up. How does his game age when you don't have the size and you don't have, like, the traditional measurements for the modern-day goalie? How does your game age? I feel good about his athleticism now at age 28, 29, 30, 31. When you get to 32, 33, 34, what does it look like? Is there a significant drop-off? Because if there is, you still got a lot of years left on that deal if that happens.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
Yeah, it's just the way he plays, the way he has to play, but the way he plays is definitely, I think, more dependent on twitchy, explosive athleticism than other guys. I mean, it's just, that's kind of, I guess it just kind of goes without saying. If you're going to be a highly successful goalie in this league at that size, you probably have that. So does that mean that your game erodes earlier than some guys?
Yeah.
Again, I mean, you have to feel good about the way once everything got kind of sorted out with the system and everything, in Andrew Burnett's first year, you got to feel good about, like, the second half of the season, how he played. He looked like vintage UC Saros, and I thought he had a good playoff series.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just – I mean, it's just – you're kind of – it's there's no perfect, obvious answer. I still would have opted to try to trade him. But, again, I say that without knowing exactly how bad the market was for him, because clearly it wasn't good.
Clearly it's not good.
Yeah, and there's signs of that, as you've talked about all over the league, about how bad the goalie market is right now.
Here's the other part of this. Now what do you do with Askarov, right? Barry Trotz caught up with Alex Doherty yesterday, who's out there in Vegas for the draft. And, basically the question was, are you going to trade it? Do you feel like you might trade either one of them this weekend? And Trotz's answer to that was, like, the chances are basically nil, which doesn't sound like it's going to happen. Now, the caveat to that is things can change pretty quickly this time of year, so I would always leave the door open. But they talked about the role for Askarov moving forward if Saros is back. Like, could he be the backup next year? And Trotz was essentially like, well, yeah, I'm going to give him that opportunity, but if he's the second-best goalie there, then he'll be the backup. If he's not, then we'll move in a different direction. And then Frank Saravalli last night at about 9 o'clock put this out there. With the Preds and UC Saros reportedly closing in on an 8-year extension that can be signed Monday, word is Nashville is looking for a backup goalie on the market. Preds plan to have Askarov back in AHL Milwaukee next season. Teams are curious how Askarov will react to that. So that kind of that throws out there the Predators really aren't leaving the door open for Askarov being the backup heading into next year.
Yeah. I mean, Trotz, you would think that he would say that. Obviously, look, if you're the Preds and he comes in and he's ridiculously good, how are you not going to have him be your backup? Especially – first of all, if I'm Askarov and I have Askarov's camp, I'm not happy today.
No.
I'm like, wow, okay. So you guys drafted me the first round. I'm the top prospect in the organization. I've performed pretty well. And you're basically saying I'm either a backup or you're moving me.
Yeah.
So not happy. Then if you hear, hey, and Yaroslav, what did we think about another year in Milwaukee? How's that sound, buddy?
Yeah.
That's Russian players. We know that Russian players, have another option.
Yeah, it could get a little hairy. I'm interested to see how that goes. We'll get more into the Askarov part of this as the show goes on here. First, let's just get your reaction to UC Saros signing an 8-year deal with the Predators that has apparently been agreed to in principle. 8 years, $7.74 million per season. They have locked up their goalie. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The Nashville Predators and UC Saros, 8-year contract extension, somewhere in the sevens.
Yeah, I think it's like 7.75 that way. Okay. Because I was expecting, when I first heard, I was like, oh, 8.5, 8.25. And then person told me it was going to be in the sevens. And I was like, what, really? And what I heard, and I heard this not from any of the direct parties involved, but I heard it from, I think, someone who would know, is that UC Saros said, get this done. Mm-hmm. I want to be a Predator. Get this done. And so it's getting done. He's going to extend. I think that there's a lot of talk about what this means for Askarov, and we'll see. But the one thing I love about Barry Trotz is he's super blunt. I think it was Alex Doherty this week that was talking with Barry Trotz. Doherty covers the Predators for the Nashville Tennessean. And Trotz said some quote. He's so good. he said Yaroslav Askarov will be ready, not when you think he's ready or the fans think he's ready or I think he's ready. He'll be ready when he's ready. So, I mean, we'll see how the player feels. You never know. But the Predators, they are not rushing this guy. And it was
he's still only in his early 20s.
Yeah, like, but you know how some kids
I know, but it is.
They want to play.
I know his first round pick and all that, but he's a goaltender.
That was Jeff Merrick, Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast. That congrats to those guys. They were in Vegas and just did a podcast last night after the awards. Didn't go out to the casino. Just did a podcast. Way to go, guys.
About 30-minute long podcast.
Yeah. Do you know they didn't go to the casino after the podcast?
I don't know that. I don't know that.
I hope they did.
I hope they did.
I hope they saw Alex Dougherty out there.
And then quickly went to Dougherty.
Yeah.
Carolyn. Carolyn!
We're going to miss you, Carolyn.
I do love Elliot Friedman.
Yes.
Love me. Love you some Elliot Friedman. You
got to like him.
So that's an interesting little tidbit. And I saw some other reporting to that nature last night that, you know, apparently Saros essentially told his agent, hey, get this done. Like, I want to be here. So, joke's on me. I talked last week about if I was UC Saros and I was UC Saros' agent, I've already given you some discounts. I'm not doing it again. Well, apparently he didn't feel that way. He just wanted to get her done.
Yeah. And, you know, an agent, I mean, I can look at it and say, yeah, man, don't let the man win, you know. And an agent would be furious, like, no. But you know what? I get it. Like, okay, so let's say – he did 8. So, would you say it was basically 62?
Basically,
right?
62.
Okay,
minutes.
So it's 64.
Yeah.
So you know, there's an ego aspect to it, and obviously these guys want to feel like they're valued, and I get that for sure. Like, how am I getting less than that guy
right.
when I know I'm better than him? But also, I can see Saros being completely sick of this crap. Now, you could tell
he was not a fan of the questions part of it.
The best part was, like, you guys had all asked him at the end of the thing, and then I went over there. But I was with somebody else, and I went over there, and I as soon as I asked him, he was the eyes glazed over, like, oh, sorry, dude.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's just, he's done with it. He wants to be here. This is all he knows in terms of living in this country and this organization.
Yeah.
And good for him. And then it's like, hey, man, give a little flair with a 774.
Yeah. I mean, again, the number – is a good number for the Predators. Like, in terms of if you are purely operating under trying to get UC Saros in here for the best deal possible, then I think they've done a good job on that. Like, the $7.74 million is good. Again, it's the 8-year deal that's going to be interesting here. You know, one thing that I thought about last night as this was all going down, you know, what is the reaction going to be if he has another quote-unquote down year this year before the contract even kicks in?
Calm.
Yeah.
Relax.
Right? Yeah.
A lot of grace.
Because, again, like, it's funny because on one hand, he just finished top five again in Vezina Trophy. So it's another top five Vezina season for him, even though this was, I think, clearly the worst year he's had
yes.
as a starter. And you look at the numbers, so last year, just traditional stats, and but we've talked about the goals saved above expected. It was down last year pretty significantly. Like, he had a .906 save percentage. I mean, what if he's at around .905, .906 again next year? And then you're like, okay, well, that's two straight years in a row where it's not been very good. Like, it's been okay, but it's not been elite, and you're paying him for 8 years. Like, there's, I think, some significant pressure on him this year to play better, right?
Sure.
Like, you got to play better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. There's always pressure on any player the year after signing.
Maybe there's not. He's got an 8-year deal. So what?
Well, yeah, the public pressure, right? Signing the big deal. You know, it's like, I mean, think about Forsberg. The year he had going into the negotiation was the his career year, and he didn't statistically have a great follow-up year, although that was also a year where he got hurt and missed like a whole bunch of the end of it. But
yep.
But you know, he's obviously, you look at the year he had, I mean, I think there was some like, oh, it's Forsberg, you know, what's that gonna look like? And it still may not look great, like you said, in a few years, but he's kind of answered the question, right?
Looks pretty good right now.
Yeah. So I mean, look, I think Saros does have to figure out the slow starts. It's a pretty consistent thing.
Yeah.
I think last year it's like a double whammy of slow start and everything's changed, and there's a lot of people trying to figure out things yep. on the ice in front of him. So, yeah, I mean, he needs to – the Preds need him to – again, they're not paying him top of market. They're not paying him like he's supposed to win the Vezina at the AAV. But you certainly would like him to be pushing high teens in that save percentage.
I mean, I'm interested to see, like, when Shesterkin's contract comes out and he signs an extension with the Rangers.
That'll be quite a bit bigger than this. What's that number going to look at? Yeah, quite a bit bigger than this one.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume so. So that part of it's going to be interesting. David on the text line says, my issue with Saros signing is more about not getting the blockbuster trade when they had the chance before last season. They missed their opportunity and really had to do this. I hear that.
And what was the blockbuster?
I was about to say, I've talked about that before in terms of like his top value in terms of moving him was probably either last year's trade deadline or last offseason, just because of the way that he had played, the 2 years left on the contract, all those things. But I don't know. Like, was the market any good for him whatsoever? Like, the goalie market right now is awful. Like, the return for Ullmark wasn't good. The return for Markstrom wasn't good. And you can make the argument that Saros is better than those guys, although Ullmark won the Vezina 2 years ago. So it's pretty similar. So, like, the market is clearly not very good for goalies right now. What was it like 2 years ago in the offseason? Like, maybe it's just been a bad goalie market. Like, maybe the goalie market in the NHL is just bad. Like, and you can't justify pulling the trigger on a Saros trade when the return for some of these guys has been very underwhelming.
Yeah. No, I without knowing exactly how many times it was attempted, how many times it was discussed, we know it was discussed with the New Jersey Devils, right? I mean, like,
yeah.
that's
clearly.
So, I mean, it's obviously underwhelming. There's still, to me, like, there's still the matter of your term asset management here, where I think it'd be a mistake to just say, okay, Yaroslav, you know, just hang in there and at some point you'll get your chance. I mean, by that point then he's up for a deal and you've committed to sorrow. So I think that moving him is the thing at some point, and it maybe in some kind of a deal, maybe this summer, maybe there is a deal this summer where he is part of it and that sweetens the deal enough to bring somebody back that really can make an impact for you.
So this contract, I think, is really interesting from a perception standpoint and how it affects Barry Trotz. And I'll tell you a little bit more about what I mean by that coming up. But I think this is a really interesting potential transition with the fan base here that we'll get into coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We are taking your reaction to UC Saros signing an 8-year deal with the Nashville Predators, $7.74 million per season. We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So I wonder, Joe, does this signal kind of a transition with the Predators fan base? And what I mean by that is, you know, after last season, they had gone young. Trotz had come in. Poile was retiring. They sold off a bunch of guys. And the vibe that I think I got, that you got, that most of us got, was the fan base generally okay with going through a little bit of a rebuild. Like, all right, if it's got to be painful for a couple years, it's got to be painful. Get some young guys in here, and hopefully you get through the other side of it and you're a contender. You know, Trotz talked about that. He's like, be patient with us, is basically what he said. Well, things went a little differently last year than anticipated. They were older than most people thought they would be. By the end of the season, some of the young guys that started the season weren't even on the team anymore, and it just basically evolved into a veteran-laden team come playoff time. And now you've signed your 29-year-old goaltender to an 8-year contract. So that doesn't really signal to me rebuild, younger, growing pains type team anymore. Like, I think the fan base was okay with struggling is probably not the right word, but I think they were okay with going through some growing pains to with the hope of eventually getting through the other side and getting back to being a Stanley Cup contender. Well, this is a win now move. This is a win now move with a goalie. So are the Predators back to being all in? Like, is this an all in type of offseason? Is the fan base like, okay, well, you've signed the goalie. It's time to go try to win a championship right now. Like, how does this move change, I guess, the patience level with Nashville Predators fans heading into all this?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's fair to say, okay, we'll see you on that Stanley Cup next year, UC. Well, I can't wait to see your name inscribed on it, right? But I think absolutely now you expect them to keep taking steps toward that and to make moves. I mean, we were talking about Stamkos. We're talking about these various veteran players that they could grab, which would be really like short-term enhancements, right? I mean, I think the expectation now is, okay, well, then Barry Trotz is going out this offseason doing everything he can to improve this roster right now with veterans. And next year, it's time to win, at least win a playoff series, start moving in that
right
direction. Like, it's that, or again, it's how many years now, well, what is Saros next year? But if you can have like second half of Saros full year next year, how many years of that do you have? How many years of Forsberg at his level do you have? How many years of Yossi at his level do you have? Not a lot.
Not a lot.
I mean, there's a lot more years on their contracts than there are years that they'll be players that are good enough to be built around.
Correct.
And that's what they are. They are the centerpiece of this team, and they need a lot more help for this team to be close to a championship contender. So good luck. I mean, it's not easy. I don't see like a clear path to that, but that is the path that you've chosen.
That's the path that you've chosen. And I wonder, like, trying to thread that needle's hard. Like, we've talked about that. You know, I understand Barry Trotz, I think, has made it pretty clear, both with his actions, but even his words early on. Like, there was not a lot of interest in just getting your head beat in for a couple years and being terrible and trying to build your team that way through the draft, which some people are still mad about, and I get it. Like, Chicago, that's clearly what they're doing. They have sucked now for a long time. They got Bedard last year. They got got a high pick again this year. We'll see how it ends up looking for them moving forward here. But clearly, Trotz didn't want to do that. So the trying to thread the needle of continuing to build towards winning and hoping that you've got some young guys coming along at some point that add to it is a really tough needle to thread. And here's what I worry about right now. And again, we'll see, you know, free agency could change a lot of things. They could make a trade today in the draft and get a younger guy in here. But you got Saros to another contract, Forsberg, Yossi. Those are your building blocks. Well, what happens next year if Ryan O'Reilly's not as good? What happens if Gus Nyquist, who has never approached a 75-point season, turns back into a 40- or 50-point guy? You know, what happens, and I don't think this is going to happen next year, but it's coming at some point. What happened if Roman Yossi goes from being an elite defenseman to just pretty good? Like, what does that do? Like, that's coming at some point. He's 34, 33. So, like, I mean, that's not that far away from that happening. So, can you build a winner with the path that you've chosen quick enough before it starts to go the other way on some of these guys?
Yeah.
That's a really tough needle to thread.
It is. And, you know, it's – I mean, I think those guys are going to be good next year. I think that you have to look at the two guys you mentioned, O'Reilly and Nyquist. I think you have to assume some level of regression.
I would agree.
You know, so –
particularly from Nyquist, but I would agree.
Yeah, so if you do that, then again, like this idea of like they would never break up that top line. Well, no, believe me, if they
it's
play like that, they'll keep them together.
Yeah,
but you know, no, I mean those guys moving down the lineup, I think is something that's kind of been in the pretty clearly stated plans of Trotz. But then how?
Yeah,
who? Because of who? Because of who comes in and makes that possible and feasible?
Right.
I don't know. Cam on the text line says, glad they made a decision, but Trotz is a poor clone if he extends Saros and doesn't use Askarov to better the team now, because extending Saros is a win-now move. Can't continue to be 50-50 on win-now and rebuild.
Okay. Well, speaking of Askarov, Nick just sent me this, and I am hopping on Instagram myself right now.
Uh-oh, did he erase the Preds from his Insta?
No, but there is a there is an Askarov photo that he's put up on his Instagram story 3 hours ago where he's sitting on the beach. He's got a coconut sitting there, and it just says everything happens for a reason.
There you go.
There we go.
That's that's him. No, I mean, look, if you're him, if I was him, I'd be furious.
I mean, if you're him, you wake up today and your reaction, and this is the human reaction, is, okay, well, my future is not with the Nashville Predators. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't think that today.
Yeah.
I mean, they just signed him to an 8-year deal beyond the Milwaukee next season stuff. But you're sitting here thinking, okay, well, they just signed Saros to 8 years. It's not going to be 8 years before I'm a starting goaltender in the league. Yeah. My future's not here. So I think in the back of his mind, Askarov knows that he's going to be playing somewhere else.
Which is why, let's take it back to Willie. Sorry, Willie, you got to catch a stray now. That's why, like, it was always ridiculous to me to try to compare this to Saros Rene. Saros is like, hey, here's a prospect comes up, and we'll see what he can do. Yeah. And he's really good. And there's no pressure. There's no first-round status. He's coming in with a much older goalie, and you know that it's probably going to be if he keeps building, then it may be a transition someday. He just went through the process of it, and that's how it unfolded. This is not that at all in any way. And if you think that Scarves just be like, okay, yeah, I'll just work hard and be a backup, and all right, we'll just see how it goes.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he requested a trade. Now, you can request it, and whether or not the Predators decided to do it are two different things. Like, he doesn't have a ton of leverage here. But I'm just saying, like, this is, like, to me, if I'm very, and I know what he said to Alex Doherty yesterday, like, the chances are almost nil that one of those two gets traded this weekend. But when you start to look at a Natchez package or putting your name in the hat for one of these forwards, like, if Askarov helps you do that, then now's the time to strike, right? Like, you avoid all this with Askarov. If somebody, hey, look, I wonder too. You know, general managers, I don't think that this is snuck up on general managers that the Predators have come to a deal with UC Saros. But now that it's out there and they know that Askarov's future is not in Nashville, do they get a little bit more aggressive in terms of trying to get him? I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, now that the Preds have made that clear, you know, that's also like less leverage for the Preds. But I agree. I think that the market is what it is. And so, you know, We've had conversations about when they're talking about dealing Saros for whatever big time forward or say, you know, and Askarov obviously is not as valuable, but there's still value in a guy with that level of talent when you have price control for the amount of time you're going to have. There's got to be people interested in that. So I think the idea, I was surprised to see that he said that, because it's like, how do you know what's going to unfold? Especially if you know that this is about to come out, you don't think he's going to react a certain way.
And again, what GMs say this time of year, I always, in the back of my mind, start thinking about, like, you know, leverage, trade discussions, those sort of things. Like, maybe he's talking about Askarov and he just doesn't like what he sees. Like, yeah, we're not trading him. It's just not happening right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it could change pretty quickly. You know, Barry Trotz got up there at the end of the season press conference and went on and on about, I don't think this is going to be a July 1st announcement. Like, it's not going to be a July 1st announcement with Barry.
It'll be earlier. That's what he was telling us.
Yeah, this could take, I mean, but he said this could take some time.
Yeah.
And here we are on June 28th. And then
you put a thought bubble. I had no idea he would take less than 8. Yay! Yeah. You know?
Exactly. So, again, like, I don't think Barry Trotz was lying when he said that. I just think Barry Trotz knew at the time that you're in a negotiation, right? Like, of course your approach is going to be, oh, yeah, we can drag this out as long as we need to. So I always, with what general managers say this time of year around the draft, I always have the caveat in my head that things can change very, very quickly when it comes to a player and their availability. Very quickly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So how does this Saros deal affect what the Predators should do this week in free agency? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3.
I think there's a player that a lot of people are linking with Nashville in the free agent world is Chandler Stephenson. He's a center from Vegas, really good player, team member of their Stanley Cup champion team last year. and a guy who played for Darian Washington before he was traded to Vegas. They know him very well. Vegas has been unable to sign him to this point, and I think if he gets to the market, the Predators will be one of the teams on his radar. The other player I've wondered about is Brady Shea, defenseman from Carolina. Either him or Brett Pesce, but you know, you've lost Ryan McDonagh. You're going to be looking to. I don't know what's happening with Alexander Carrier, so you guys might have a hole on the blue line you got to look at. I think that either Shea or Pesce, probably Shea more likely than Pesce, we'll see, but he's on your radar. And I think the other guy someone told me to look out for the other day as a center is Ross Colton, who's it's an interesting one. His name is new to the trade market. You know, I think that he's got a no trade clause that kicks in on July 1st. And Colorado needs some flexibility. He's a good player. I mean, you guys saw him face-to-face the bubble year when he was in Tampa and you guys were in the same division. I do think Ross Colton could be a player on, or is a player on, Nashville's radar. So those would be four names I would probably keep an eye out on.
How's Elliot Friedman yesterday on with Adam and Willie discussing free agency coming up for the Predators. Now, that conversation took place before the Saros deal was announced. So the Predators and UC Saros apparently agreeing to an 8-year deal worth $7.74 million per season. Adds up to a total of just about $62 million. So big deal for UC Saros. We've taken your reaction to that all show long. 615-737-1025. So we talked last segment about how does this affect the timeline? How does this affect the approach for Barry Trotz? How does it affect it right now? That's what I'm worried. I'm interested in. I mean, free agency is Monday, so you've got the draft today. I'm interested to see if and when there are some big trades today in the NHL. Like, there's a lot that's rumored to be out there right now. How much actually happens today? How much actually happens before free agency happens? And will the Predators be involved in any of it? That's going to be a big question. But if you're Barry Trotz, you've just signed your goalie to an 8-year extension. How does that affect what you do in free agency and how aggressive you are? Well, you know, Saros' number is not affecting the cap at all next season. So you still have the $26 million in projected space heading into this offseason period here. So you have the financial room to be fairly aggressive, whether it's free agency, trade, a combination of the two. How should Barry Trotz approach this with the Saros contract in the background now, as we sit here today on the morning of June 28th.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything, I mean, I think aggression, right? I mean, in general, that's just how I would answer that. Like, I mean, I think anything could be possible here, but I think that you were seeing some of these other names out there, interesting names. I don't know, what do you think about, like, Chandler Stephenson as a, I feel like Chandler Stephenson's a number two center.
Yeah, he is a number two center. He's, I mean, he's certainly not a number one. I mean, on a
good player,
on a really, 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 really good team, he could be in like a high end three. But he's a good player. He's put up 64 points in 21-22, scored over 20 goals. He put up 65 points in 22-23. And he put up 51 points in 75 games this last year, and did so while, I mean, he's played a lot with Mark Stone, and Stone was hurt for basically the second half of the year before he, you know, infamously got healthy.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, the time of the playoffs.
Better. So. He timed out well.
Yeah, so.
Didn't matter.
Stephenson is a good player, and Stephenson is a player that can help you offensively, is good in his own end. Like, he's one of those quote-unquote, like, winning type of players, right? If the Predators sign Chandler Stephenson to a contract, is the fan base going to go like, yeah, all right? Probably not. But he's a good player. And then the
makes
question,
you better.
He makes just, you better. Like, the question then goes like, okay, but is there enough high end ability there with the lineup? That still to me is the question with this group, is how do you increase the high-end ability. There's nothing wrong with Chandler Stephenson. He's a good player, and he can provide some offense. He's not Steven Stamkos. He's not Sam Reinhart. He's not Philip Forsberg. And they need, quite frankly, another Philip Forsberg. And again, I realize that that's incredibly difficult to find, but they need one. Like, they've got to have another guy like that. How do you go about getting it?
Yeah. I mean, one thing Trotz has said many times to some effect is probably going to have to do it by committee, right? He's kind of made that, which makes sense. I mean, like, you just can't snap your fingers and get that overwhelming talent that not that many teams in the league have. I mean, how many teams in the league have guys like that? I mean, some, you know, but, like, I think the idea is, like, you know, you got to be strong up and down the lineup. I mean, look at, like, well, I guess, like, I don't know if Vancouver's a good example, but they're, because they also still have, like, high-end guys.
Right.
But, like, they have a, like, they had, you could tell that when those teams played, like, there's definitely, like, they have just more good players, you know?
It's coming at you in waves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think that's probably the idea that Trotz has. Can you build a team? I mean, he talked about the top nine, right? And increasing your top nine and just the quality of player in your top nine, which is a good idea. Like, it's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I still do wonder, though, like, in a playoff series, does that work? Like, that's basically – that's the route that Dallas went. Now, Dallas also has Jason Robertson, and they've got some really good players. But their top nine was loaded. Like, that's what the strength of their team was. So you can win that way. I just still wonder, even if you added a chance, let's say they added Stevenson and Ross Colton and Brady Shea. Like, that's a pretty good haul that you've gotten in free agency. They're probably not going to end up with all those guys.
But how good
are you? You're definitely better, and you're probably definitely a playoff team. Can you win a round? Can you win two?
Right.
Like, what does that mean?
And also, if you're doing things, you know, and like in free agency in particular, that's the thing. Then you overpay, and so it's harder to get as many of those guys. You know, that's why it's so important to have, you know, forwards all through your organization that are like Dallas does.
Yep.
That come up and all of a sudden, like, hey, this dude's going to be amazing too.
He's not making any money right now.
Yeah, right.
That's a big part of it. Got a few people on the text line asking about, has there been anything that's come out on a no movement clause on Soros? There has not been anything that we have seen. Now, having said that, the general manager hopped on the radio the other day with Jared Stillman, who we'll talk to here in just a minute, and said publicly that Soros has earned a no-movement clause, which tells me, I mean, this deal, I don't think this deal was just completed last night. I think it's been done for a minute.
Jim Schlossnagel and Trotz did it at the last minute.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, all right, let's try it. All right, let's talk. Oh, we're good. Here you go. Sign it. Thank you.
So the general manager came on and said that Soros had earned a no-movement clause, which tells me that they have agreed to a no-movement clause. Now, the question is, what is that? Is it a full no-move? Now, Trotz also said in his answer to Jared that there's some limit. Like, yeah, I think he's earned it to some limits, which tells me it's a limited no-movement clause. And that could mean that there's a limited no-trade list, and he's got, you know, certain teams that he would just have to submit a list to. That could mean that 3 years into the contract, the full no-move kicks in. It could mean a lot of different things. I don't expect there to be a full no-movement clause based on what Trotz said with Jared the other day.
Yeah,
but some, it sounds like something's happening.
Which, of course, is contrary to how this organization did business for a long time.
Yep. It's going to be interesting.
But it's how Poyle started doing business.
And I think
late in his tenure, and it's kind of how it goes now. Right?
I think the number would also suggest at $7.74 million, that's lower than most people thought it would be.
That's the
that
trade-off.
Probably suggests to you as well that there is some trade protection involved. So if you're expecting there to be no trade protection in this, I would not get your hopes up. Like, I think you're going to see some. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the UC Soros contract and what this means for the Predators heading into this offseason. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.